Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Speaking Podcast, in for the vacationing Bill Spady. It's me, Jay Black. Jessica is on maternity leave. That just leaves me, a person with no vacation and literally nowhere to go and whose children don't want him in his life. I'm joined today by someone whose name you're about to know internationally. Like, very soon, you know, Jonathan, I'll introduce you in a second. Very soon, you better not say anything bad on this podcast, because when you become a world famous director, this is where they're going to come to cancel you. You do understand that?
Well, it's too late already.
Oh, really? Is there stuff out there?
Yeah.
I'm joined. Now, do you just go by Jonathan Lewis, or can I just call you Jonathan Lewis Lewis, which is how I think of you, because if it's in my phone.
Yeah. That's what I did. You know, that was my IMDb thing, because it was a nickname I had for a long time, Lewis Lewis. A lot of people used to call me. And then so when I was on IMDb, Jonathan just fills into the masses. There's a ton of Jonathans. So I just added my nickname on the end. It is my last name.
Right.
But I added my nickname. And so Lewis Lewis goes straight to the top of the charts in IMDb.
Well, Jonathan Lewis Lewis, who was a producer on Psycho Storm Chaser, and who has just moved into the director's chair for the next movie. I don't want to talk too much about the next movie. We try to stay mum on the podcast until it actually gets closer to happening. I think in part because both Bill, me, and Jessica are Catholics. So, like, you have that, like scared, like, God's going to hear me and punish me for talking about this. But I can say another Exit 19 joint is about to be produced. Jonathan will be directing it. And Jonathan was, you know, really the unsung hero. I'm singing you now, Jonathan. So, you're not unsung.
Thanks.
Of Psycho Storm Chaser. Because we just met a little bit ago. Bill knows you, and he said that Jonathan was the man, because I would have 10,000 conversations with him a day, and he had to figure out how to make a movie for basically $0.
For nothing. Yeah, absolutely.
Because people find out about the budget and they go, well, $250,000, that's a lot of money. That is a sneeze.
No, Hollywood. Not really.
I was just listening to a podcast about the history of Halloween. It's Blank Check. Do you ever listen to Blank Check?
I've heard of it. I haven't listened though.
Well, they're doing John Carpenter's filmography right now, and they're talking about the budget for Halloween. Do you happen to know the budget for Halloween, Jonathan?
It was about, I think it was, what was it? It was under $1 million.
Yep.
And I should know this. Was it a $500,000?
$300,000 in 1978 money, which in American dollars today, that's $1.4 billion. That was the budget in 1978. And we did a movie in 2021 for $250,000, Jonathan. It's insane what we did.
It is.
What you did. So if one of the things that bugs me is, you know, when I first got into this business, I'm just an English teacher from New Jersey, right? Doing comedy on the side. My best friend, Brian Herzlinger, I don't know if you know Brian. He's out in Hollywood, and he's like, you know, he just made a movie that made some waves. And he's like, hey, you should do screenwriting with me. So I start screenwriting with him. I learned the business through him, not through film school or anything else. I had my English degree and my best friend, and I learned it through him. And one of the eye-opening things for me was how influential the producer is in making the movie.
Oh, yeah.
You think director, you think writer, you think star. And I think the director, because of auteur theory, you know, for 20
Yeah.
years, we've talked, the director's vision is the only one that matters. But, you know, more and more now, when you think Jason Blum, when you think Kevin Feige, we're in a producer's world right now.
Yeah.
So could you do
me a
favor
absolutely.
And explain what a producer is and what they do? Because I don't think most people know.
Well, I mean, it depends on the, it goes project to project, but mainly producer does a lot of things. I mean, obviously the crew is the backbone of any movie, and they take the brunt of everything day to day, but producers are doing that as well. And they're pretty much covering all the bases. You're like, you know, the owner of the restaurant, and you're basically trying to make sure that everything is taken care of so that those different heads of departments can do their jobs efficiently. So the director can have the scenes that he wants, so that, you know, everything is lined up in financial and what have you. So
I like that analogy a lot. You're the guy that lets the chef cook. But you're also the guy that makes sure that the waiters are all hired and there on time, the dishwasher's there, the actual ingredients are where they need to be. And you allow all of those things to happen so that when the chef goes, I need turnips, turnips appear.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes down to it, you know, it'll fall back on the producer. I mean, there's parts of the job where the stuff on the screen, the director gets the brunt of it. But I mean, ultimately during production and post-production, or actually all phases, pre, principal and post, it's like, you know, the producer, it's your job to make sure things are going and running and happening.
You know, I'm not, so Scott Rudin and Harvey Weinstein, awful, monstrous people. But when they throw stuff against the wall, is there a part of you that goes, I kind of want to throw stuff against the wall too? I would never do it, but there's a lot of tension here and I want to throw something, especially when you're trying to do deliverables.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, yeah, they were monstrous people and for the other things they were involved in.
Right.
But as being... I think that came with experience of doing it for so many years, producing for so many years. But where it seems like they're throwing things against the wall, but really it's an eye for certain talents. It's an eye for certain movies. It's an eye for knowing what's in the market. It's kind of like that guy. What's that? That internet guy with was it Bitcoin? I think, Gary V. You heard of Gary V?
No, that sounds like
he's like an entrepreneur.
Did
that
he direct
made
$1 billion. Is that him?
he made like $1 billion as an entrepreneur, but he learned the biggest thing that he learned is he learned human behavior and he could predict it. And so it's kind of, I use that analogy with the movies. It's like great producers that have done that, it's kind of like they learn the human behavior of movie making, I should
right.
say. No,
that's a very interesting thought, because I'm thinking of the Steve Jobs movie where mm-hmm. you know, he says you know, everybody has an instrument to play, and Steve Wozniak turns to Jobs and goes, well, what do you play? And he goes, I play the orchestra. Kind of like that, right?
Yeah,
a little bit.
It's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, so, it's absolutely true.
Now, like most people, you want to direct, and like most people, unlike most people, you're getting an opportunity to. Here's my question. When you were but a little boy, what was the movie? Do you have like a moment or a movie that you saw that made you go, this is an industry that I want to be a part of? Like a moment where you realize this is a job you could have? Something that made you want to learn more about it? Like, what's your sort of seminal moment as a kid?
I mean, well, it's interesting because it wasn't, I never thought of it that way. It was me. I have two older brothers and we were always into movies and we were always making our own movies. Like there's a VHS out there of like five films that we made as kids that, you know, I would never show. But yeah.
Well, when you go on a talk show in 5 years, when you're directing, you know, Into the Multiverse 2, you're going to have to show something, Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, you know, it actually came. I mean, we would always make films. We would do stuff around the house. All growing up, my brother worked at a video store, and then he would rent the camera or take the camera, and we'd shoot our own stuff. And I was always into horror movies. My brother ended up being like a big influence in that. He was involved in the horror community big time with merchandising and stuff, and still is today. He's in graphic novels.
A lot of money to be made in horror movies. People don't realize that. A lot of money to be made.
Yeah, definitely. And you can do things on the cheap. And that's where all my style, like, this is why we're able to make the 250 feature film. But I mean, I think it came because I was writing. I used to like to write just like you.
Yeah, I don't like to write. I like to be done writing.
But I, you know, and then I think it was in high school. I saw like, oh, wait, you know, you write something and then the whole thing gets changed. And it's not anything that you originally wrote the first time. So I said, what chair do I need to be in where I can have control over that?
That's a very good point. A lot of people don't realize, yeah, you do write a script and then later on, it's 4 months later, you see a movie and you go, yeah, I believe some of those might be my words. I'm not 100%.
Yeah, it's completely changed. And you know how it is. You get no respect.
Yeah. You know, here's what I'll tell you. Honestly, and this is no fooling. I think because I live and work in New Jersey, and every movie, I think I've got 8 or 9 movies now that have been made that I wrote. Every time I send them out, they disappear into the ether. Unless I'm in them, I don't see them again till they're basically done. And
yeah,
I kind of like the idea, like the collaborative nature of what we do. It's kind of interesting to you send it out into the world, and when it comes back to you, it's like everybody put their influences on it. And sometimes those influences make it into something great and you go, I'm proud to be a part of that. And sometimes those influences, you go, I really hope no one ever sees this on my IMDb or else I'm toast. So, you know, I kind of dig it, but I know where you're coming from. Where can I control it? It's the director's chairs where you control. Were you from the Hollywood area or were you like?
No. I grew up in the Bay Area, Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area.
So you're like 600 miles north from the industry.
Probably like 400 miles, something
because
like that.
I live in a suburban neighborhood in New Jersey. I was literally just outside at a party. That's why I had to push because my across the street neighbors, their kid turned like an age. I'm not sure. I had to go out and be part of the party. And they're all just regular people doing regular work. And they're like, well, what do you know, I'm sitting here writing movies for Hollywood. And that's like, that's like crazy to them.
Ooh, yeah.
And it was crazy to me too, because I honestly believe that there's, everybody you meet has a screenplay, has an idea, has a thought. And I always meet these people like, why don't you just write it? And I realize it's because the gulf between where they're at and where Hollywood seems to be, it's not 3,000 miles. It might as well be 300 million miles because it's like a distant galaxy. And that's why they never pursue it. Did you ever have that? Was there ever a moment where you're like, I live in Oakland. I can't go to Hollywood and be a movie person. Or were you always like, this is what I'm meant to do. I'm just going to go do it. I mean, how can I not?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bay Area is one of the most creative places. I mean, I haven't been there in 10 years, or more. But it's one of the most, it has such a rich culture. Yeah. And so creative stuff was always happening. Music was really big in Oakland. And
well, MC Hammer comes from Oakland. So I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I know.
MC Hammer. There's a ton of, I mean, I growing up in the 90s and, you know, there was a huge rap culture that was in Oakland, and a lot of that would travel, trickle down to Los Angeles. And like my brother went to school with a rapper who was big in the Bay Area, and his cousin was Ice Cube. And there's stuff
cool.
like that. You know, it's so, I mean, it wasn't like Hollywood's a far off distant thing. It was more of like, well, I'm just going to make it here and
right.
shoot it. Why not? Why wouldn't I? I'm just going to do it. You didn't think about it. And that's kind of, it's that naive kind of young hunger, that fire where you just like, I'm just going to do it. And you didn't even take 2 seconds to think, well, should I do it? Like what would happen if I did this or that? You just did it. That's how I got into this. And sometimes I think that you absolutely lose that, but it's sometimes you need to get back to just, okay, I'm just going to do it. I don't care.
You have to be very stupid to do what we do.
Yeah,
very, very stupid. Although
well, you know,
what you say,
that.
What you say brings up a very good point though. And one that I always tell, cause I talk to a lot of college kids, and you know, cause I do comedy and I do college comedy, and then people come up to me and they go, well, I live in Utica. I want to do stuff. What should I do? And I said, I always say, find a creative group of people. You need to have people around you who understand that generating an idea and then seeing it through to the completion is a good thing, because everybody else in your life is going to say that's stupid. Like, don't do that. And they're not wrong, right? They're only wrong until they're not, you know, it is stupid to write a screenplay because 10 million people have written one. It is stupid to want to direct because 10 million people want to direct until you actually get something done. You need to be surrounded by people that go, well, okay, we probably can't make that as a feature, but we could do a short out of that. Come over to my house this weekend. Let's film it and figure all that stuff out together, because eventually one of that crew is going to do something and you're going to move up with them.
That's I mean, every one of those guys that, you know, that you talk about, you know, when you think of movies and famous auteurs, that's what they were all doing at that age too.
Yeah.
They were just doing that. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason that Nike's slogan is just do it.
Right. Don't think too much. Just,
They stole that though. But anyways.
Who they steal from?
there was I forget who gave it to him. I don't have the data on the top of my head, off the top of my head to back that up. But I do know that I read that book.
Listen, we're talking to Bill Spady is on this podcast. You don't need to back up anything you're saying. Just say whatever you want. One of the things that I think is interesting about the difference there, it's not just being creative. It's finishing. It's just like sex. It's not what you're doing. You got to finish, but you got to make sure everybody finishes. That follow through to get it done. Because I know a lot of comics that say, well, I started a screenplay, and I always say, you stopped at page 40, right? 45, right? As the second act was getting murky. They're like, how'd you know? And I was like, because that's when it's hard. It gets hard. And that's where you stop. Yeah. It's like, you can get by as a B-minus worker, which I am certainly, I pray that I'm B-minus, if you just get it done. You have a script that's finished, people can do something with it, or a movie that's finished, people can, you know, judge it. It's an idea, doesn't matter unless it's realized.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I think that the follow through, I mean, I've ran into that myself. It's just, you know, trying to get things done. The work is hard in that sense. Like you said, you get to that page 40 and it's hard. I used to have debates when I used to work at a movie theater, and there was a screenwriter that worked with me, and we were, you know, shoveling popcorn. Right. And he was talking about how it was so much easier to write a drama in 1970, and they made movies for, you know, 20 million or 30 million that you don't see today, that
mid-level, you know, prestige pick.
Yeah. And he was talking about how hard it is to do this and how hard it is to do that. And I said, but you know, if you were around in 1970 trying to write a movie, it still would be the exact same level of difficulty.
It's
It's still
never hard. It's
hard.
never easy. It's never
Yeah,
easy.
there were challenges that you would have had to face then that you don't face now, and even now it's hard, but there's a lot to your advantage today. You don't need a movie studio today.
Right.
You don't have to get pulled into that studio system in terms of where, they fill up all the slots and these guys are their workers and it's an actual job that they go to every day, so there's no room for anybody else kind
Right.
of thing. So
You're not trying to get, I just read about Polly Platt trying to get into the union. She had already done what do you call it? Texas, the movie in Texas. Last Picture Show, she had already
oh
done
yeah.
Chuck Doc, and she's still not in the union. She's trying to get into the union. It's crazy, right? The 70s, anybody that says it was easier at a certain time is wrong. It's
Yeah.
always difficult. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it comes down to that perseverance and that, like you said, it is crazy. I know when I went 100, you have to go 100% in.
Right.
And I knew the time when I went 100% in with this is what I'm going to do, that I just kind of chalked it up to, okay, I better do it because I'm not going to have any other skills as good if I
Yeah.
dedicate my life to this,
Right. I'm gonna
What
have
else
to
are you going to
move to the Midwest and do industrial filmmaking for slaughterhouses. I don't want to do
do?
that.
So, I mean, it comes down to that, and it comes down to, having a good idea, having that community, like that support system in terms of where you said find those creatives that want to do this as well. And finding those people and just going toe to toe, just working every day on stuff. So I think that's the key.
Well, if I could
Just
just say one
you
thing
can't
to
give
add
up.
on that, that's all beautiful. One thing I would
Yeah.
add too is it's gonna suck in your head when you're writing it or when you're doing it. It always there's comes a moment.
Yeah.
I was talking to Buzz, our director. I
Yeah.
think I was three he was three quarters of the way through the editing process, and I'm like, "What do you think?" And he was like, "I hate this movie. I hate everything. I've seen it 400 times. I hate it. I don't want to ever see it again." And
Yeah.
he said, and this is true, he's like, "I legitimately don't know if it's good or bad because I'm living with it."
Yeah.
When there's an idea in your head that you are realizing into the clay, your sculptor's hands, you're trying to make it real. It never plays like it's supposed to in your mind. This is the Platonic ideal. The reality is bad. You can make reality better, but you got to get it done. Otherwise,
Yeah.
there's no second draft of an idea. You have to write the idea down.
Yeah, in the idea, honestly, it starts to form its own way, like you said, that clay, it starts to form and it starts to go in its own direction, and you do get too close to those projects. I can't imagine. I'm not gonna edit this new film,
Right.
and part of me is happy that I'm not
Yeah, no,
because
I.
of getting so close to it and you see it so much. And then, I mean, I'm still going to be in the editing booth. I'm still going to be, every step of the way, trying to make this the best project we can make it, absolutely. But
Right.
I mean, it definitely, you get to a point where, like Buzz said, you can't tell. You're so close. That and you've seen the thing a million times. I have a lot of projects like that where I've seen it so much. I'm like, and then by the time you're ready to show somebody, you're cringing in the
Right,
back of the auditorium or wherever you are.
because you only see the imperfections.
Yeah. You never you and you have to just rely on, well, I hope people like it
Right.
because
Well, here's how I know I'm
no.
not meant to be a director, because I'm currently working on the second draft of our movie, and I'm bored with it already. I'm like, two times I've had to
Yeah.
read this script. This is insane.
Yeah.
I wrote it. It's done. I gotta look at it
Well,
again. Too much effort.
that's the Hitchcock thing, right?
What's that? No, what's
Hitchcock, and I'm sure Buzz has spoke about this, that we're both real huge Hitchcock fans, and I
Right.
studied him.
I think I told you I showed my daughter Vertigo over the winter break, and she still hasn't forgiven me.
Oh yeah, that's one of his, it's arguably one of his personal, one of his most personal films.
Yeah, well, my daughter was not happy with the ending. She was like, if I ever run into this Alfred Hitchcock, I got some words for him. Anyway, go on. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But no, his whole thing that he became, I mean, he was in that kind of studio system where he climbed the ladder. He was, you know, scripty, did all these different jobs, and he went all the way up to the top, to the point where his pre-production process was so thorough, was so calculated,
Right.
that he had already made the movie, basically.
Right.
Like he had gone through the script, every little detail, every shot, that everything was storyboarded. He would shoot in such a manner that the studios couldn't recut it a different way.
Because he just
You
shot it as the movie in his head.
as
I
it
love
is in
that.
his head, and he didn't leave anything to chance. Like, he didn't give them any extra work or any extra scenes or angles or anything. It's
Right.
exactly how it has to be, because that's how he wanted it. But
Right.
then by the time he was ready to go to principal production, when they're about to roll the cameras, he said he was bored. He said he's already made the movie. He said after his pre-production process, he says, like it was a pain. Like, he's like, oh, now we gotta shoot this thing.
Now it's
We've already
actually
made
work. The
it.
fun stuff is
Yeah.
done.
Yeah.
All right,
But
on
I mean,
that
that's what
note,
made it
Jonathan
so
Lewis
good too.
Lewis, I'm going to thank you for joining us on the Speaking Podcast. I say us, it's just me today. Is there anything you're promoting? Can I put people towards your social media, or do you not care? Do you have anything you want people to see?
No, not right now. I mean, I'm ba psycho brother-in-law is the big thing right now that I'm working on, and
The new
you know,
movie.
I'm yeah, so it's gonna be great. I'm excited. We're working all this month and next month to get it
Well,
ready,
we're
so.
excited to have you, and I'll tell you what, shoot a lot of coverage because I'm going to recut it. I'm going to take it out of your hands, and we're going to reboot. No, I'm only joking. Jonathan Lewis Lewis, the very talented producer of Psycho, Storm Chaser, and a directing talent that you're all about to see in a couple of months with the new project and with many more to come. Guys, big, bright, shining star, and you got to meet him here on the Speaking Podcast. Thanks for joining, Jonathan.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.